turn in your Bibles
to two passages. Find Isaiah chapter 35. Put your finger in there. And then go and find John 14 and put your finger in there or a little marker and come back to Isaiah 35. I've entitled the message, The Highway to Heaven. And there was a huge problem right across the nation of Israel. It had fallen away, it had lost its way. And God sent one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, to minister to the people. And he gives a prophetic word in chapter 35. And he's talking about something that he doesn't see himself until Jesus comes. That's the culmination of it. But he sees a highway to God. That's what I want to read from chapter 35. You can go on home and read all sorts of rest of the chapter. But this is what he says about when God touches your life and God speaks to you and God shows you something. This is the prophetic word about what that moment will be like. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean doesn't mean that you're dirty. It means the sinful. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will there any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. Who will then? But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. And here's the beautiful thing. And they will enter Zion with singing. When you get on the highway to heaven, you've got something to sing about. They will be singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. We've got a brother suffering that at the moment. But there's a moment on the highway when sorrow and sighing will flee away. Now let's go to John 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Very profound statements in both those passages. And we'll look at them in a few moments' time. Here's the Jesus statement for this morning. I am the way. The truth, the life, we can look at it another time, but the way. Margaret Sangster is a social worker in the States, in the USA. And I picked up her story when I was over there. She found a boy in the ghetto area of New York. He'd been struck by a car, and for some reason, he hadn't received the correct or the proper kind of medical attention. And he appeared to Margaret Sangster little more than a bit of twisted human flesh. He wasn't part of her caseload, but she took him to an orthopedic surgeon, paid for it. And that surgeon ultimately performed surgery on the boy's legs and so on. And 2 years later, that boy walked into her office without crutches. His recovery was remarkable and it was complete. And the two of them hugged, they embraced each other. And the social worker said to herself, Margaret said to herself, if I accomplish nothing else in my life, I've made a real difference to this one. Now, she was telling this at a conference, and she asked a question. She said, this was several years ago. What I want you to do is try and guess, where is the boy today? Well, there were suggestions. Is a school teacher? No. Is a doctor, maybe? No. Maybe he's a social worker? No. And of course, somebody had to come up with, it's something to do with the church? No. And that's when Margaret Sangster broke down with very deep emotion. She said, he's in a prison cell. He's in a penitentiary. He's in a prison cell for one of the foulest crimes that a human being can ever commit. And she said this, I've never forgotten this. I was instrumental in teaching him how to walk again. But there was no one to teach him where to walk. Nobody showed him where so he could live and be a fulfilled person. If you want to know why we have done the Passion for Life and why we keep on saying that we have to point people to Jesus Christ, it's because of that. We have to tell people where to walk safely. Jesus claims to be the way. Only through him can broken lives and broken homes and broken dreams and broken hearts, only through him, through that way, can they find their way home and in the process find new and wholeness of life. If you mark this well, there are many ways you can go wrong and mess things up. There is only one way you can go right. Now, in the ancient world, there are relics. You've seen them. If you haven't seen them, take a trip up to Colchester. What are you going to look for? You're going to look for milestones. They're still with us. It was the boast. They said all roads lead to Rome. And the Roman Empire boasted that it had some of the best roads ever built. And that highway system held the empire together. It facilitated transportation. It meant there was communication and conquest. So see the milestone. And here we are this morning. Here we are today. And when we start to talk about life, do you know what analogies we use? We say it's a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a walk. It's a voyage. And heaven is perceived in whatever way you describe the journey. Heaven is the destination. And everybody wants to get there eventually. And the big question Which road do you take? Which road do you take? Let me tell you about a meal that was taking place in an upper room. About Jesus picking up a towel and getting a basin of water. The sovereign of the universe taking the place of a servant. And it intrigued and it mystified the disciples as they watched what he did. They were learning a lesson then, and we have to learn the same lesson now, how the church constantly and continually needs to learn about humility and service. And in that moment, there was a dark shadow. It's the shadow of Judas that falls across that scene in the upper room. Judas deliberately doing his dreadful deed. He's already met with the religious leaders. He's agreed to lead them to Jesus. And it seems beyond comprehension that a man who'd occupied a position of trust and friendship in the disciple band should now ultimately betray his leader. It's a pathetic, it's a tragic episode, and it's summed up in a phrase in Luke 22:4, and he went his way. And what a way that was. One minute he'd been treading the way of glory. Look at Mark chapter 3 if you want to follow that through. Leaving friends, following Jesus, working hard because he was sensing Jesus was the Messiah. The kingdom was at hand. He would have a place in it. But Judas' way was a way of greed, and he starts dipping his hand in the bag. He turns him into a thief. Judas is looking after his own interests, and so he goes his own way. And he will spurn and scorn his friendship with Jesus with a kiss. He goes his own way. Read the story. Listen to me. Hear the clink of the coins that he feels in his hands. They count for nothing. He'll throw them to the ground. And he went his way. Poor man. Guilt and remorse will play havoc with his conscience. The coins will be scattered all over the floor, angrily. And his hopes and his aims will be completely shattered and broken. And that poor, demented man goes out to commit suicide. He went his own way. What a warning. He is about people. If they insist on going their own way, the consequence will be just as devastating. Everybody wants, I go to the crematorium again and again. Everybody's having Sinatra song. I did it my way. Yeah. You go your own way. You go your own way. You take the consequence. And Judas is gone. And the atmosphere in the room changes. Jesus starts to talk about the cross and heaven and about his going away. Where? Could they go with him? Back and forth, the conversation goes. And there's Thomas, persistent, asking his questions. He felt lost in it all. I go to prepare a place for... Where? Where? He said, hey, did you get that? It's what Jesus said. Did you get that? I go to prepare a place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, for folk who've gone on the highway and not gone their own way. There's something very clear when Jesus says, I am the way. not a way, not a road, but I am the road. No one can travel and make their way to God apart from the Lord Jesus. Thomas has already contradicted Jesus. Thomas tells him, Master, we don't know the way. And there's this emphatic statement by Jesus, I am the way. To have me, to know me, to love me, to obey me. That's what it's all about. Christianity is not about a creed. It's not about a doctrinal system or a church structure system. It's not Anglican, Catholic, or Congregational, or Baptist. It's not that. It's not a code of rules. Jesus says, it's me. I'm the way. Now, let me tell you something. The way was planned. The way was predicted. The concept of life as a journey, a pilgrimage, is as old as man himself. Adam. What do you know about Adam? He walks with God, God's way. Turn the page or so in your Bible and you have Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. That's a staggering thought. That's a tremendous possibility and a challenge. I have to ask myself, you must. Am I walking with God? Amos, centuries later, will say, you can't walk with God just as and how and when you please. If two are not agreed together, how can they walk together? Page after page after page, you will discover that the history of Israel is about a path that has been earmarked by God. They would have the pillar of cloud and of fire showing them the direction they were to take. But it is a story of turbulence and disobedience. It is the story of a nation choosing to go its own way. When you read the book of Judges, everybody does what was right in their own eyes. So they get hopelessly lost and then in turmoil. And that's when you get the prophetic word from Isaiah. He tells the people about a highway that is going to be built. And in graphic imagery, he calls it the way of holiness. It was quite exciting. It was a delightful thing to hear. He was a light shining in the darkness of those times. It was a beacon blazing so that the traveler, however weary, however tired, he could go on his or her way. It'd be a clear way. It'd be a well-marked way. It would be a trodden way. Lots of people would be on the way. And Isaiah emphasizes it would be utterly impossible not to recognize that this highway is unique and special. And you must make sure you travel on it. And it would be centuries later. And that prophetic word will be fulfilled as Jesus will talk about the way of salvation, his way. All around us, we see lives that are frustrated and filled with regret. That won't change until they discover Jesus is the way. That when you walk Jesus' way, then life takes on a whole new significance. And it's for everyone. Everyone, whosoever will, can come and get on this highway. But you have to step out. You have to walk on this way. And every day then, when you're on the highway, you know there's a purpose for living. And on this road, this highway, you can do some good things. There's things you can do in his name that will be a blessing to a multitude of other people. You won't be at a loss at which direction to take. You just have to concern yourself with Jesus. And as we love him, as we trust him, as we are concerned with him about everything else, then works out because Jesus is the way. I have to issue a warning. It was just then, and it is still true now, that you can be sidetracked. You can go down dead ends. You can find there's no way through. You can be on paths that you are clinging to things of which Jesus would disapprove or even forbid, because Jesus is the way. It was planned and then it's proclaimed. Here's Jesus telling the disciples in that upper room, I'm going to give you more than what Isaiah predicted. There will be blessings in this life. As you trust me and follow my way, that's not it. It's the ultimate destination. It's heaven himself. Can't you see that, Thomas? And he says, no, I can't see that. Jesus says, I am the way. And he adds this, no one comes to the Father except through me. I've got to clarify something here. There can be and there are many, many ways to get you to Christ. I came through a tent mission on a fairground. The lady who led the morning hour on radio this morning was in a church. That's how she came. That's the road she took to get there. But there's only one way to the Father. Now, that's not popular. That's not generally accepted. But it's nevertheless a fact. The liberal thinker tells you that there are many ways to God the Father. There's the way of nature. Listen to it. Planet Earth. Every Sunday is telling you. There's the way of aesthetics. Listen to all the charity appeals for donkeys, for children who are blind and diseased and maimed. Listen to them. People talk about doing kind acts and kind deeds. And then you have the materialistic ideas of the New Ages who are telling us how to improve the environment. We've got to save the earth. We've got to change the climate. We've got to save the planet. That's how we will create a new world in the process. And there's all these extreme views of Extinction Rebellion and all the others, or Insulate by 35, whatever it is, the varying groups. So the protesting and the movements of protest destroy us in the process of creating their new world. And if they have their way, I'll tell you what it will be. It will be anarchy. And no one will know how to get out of it. They're not the only ones. There are the ecclesiastics. In a variety of religious forms and ceremonies and religions, they will all talk about their rights. The fourfold noble path of Buddha. The nirvana. When you get to it, you've reached your place. All the ceremonies, all the religions, all the good deeds that you do, all the noble paths that you tread, all the ceremonies that you engage in, because the focus is on the things you do. And none of those things, ecclesiastical or natural or woke or liberal or whatever it is, can get past this simple truth. Jesus is the way to the Father and to heaven itself. You're familiar with In the Bleak Midwinter, Christine Rossetti's hymn. She wrote another one. Here's the chorus. None other lamb, none other name, none other hope in heaven or earth or sea, none other hiding place from guilt and shame, Lord Jesus, none but thee. One of the trips I was in Minnesota, the local radio was going bananas. A Volkswagen car had been stolen, and an intense search was being placed. They were on this radio. Every program was trying to attract the attention of the thief who'd taken the Volkswagen. Do you know why? On the front seat, well, they call them crackers, well, biscuits, were crackers. And they were laced with poison. They were going to be set down as a bait for rats. But would the guy thinking, oh, maybe it's a bit of cheese, or maybe this is whatever, would he pick that up? And the whole thing about the broadcast was saving the thief rather than the car. And what I've learned after 60-odd years of ministry is this: people run from God, failing to know what they're actually doing, is they are eluding his rescue plan. Jesus is the way. You have to know it. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. So then, you have to pursue the way. When you turn the pages of your Bible and you get into the book of Hebrews, you are confronted by what I think is one of the most challenging statements. It's in Hebrews 10. It'll be verses 19, 20, 21, and so on. Let me put in the words of the message. We can walk right up to God into the holy place. How? Through Jesus. And this is the phrase that I wanted to emphasize: a new and living way. And what's the event? It's the annual event. They always drew a crowd. The high priest would enjoy the privilege of walking up to the mercy seat. And as he did, he'd ascend the steps of the temple very solemnly, dressed in the garb and so on. And he'd be holding in his arms a lamb for the sacrifice. Now the people, huge crowds of people, would be outside waiting. And the priest, the high priest, would pass through a huge curtain called the veil of the temple. The blood of the lamb that's been slain, slaughtered, would be offered. Sin would be atoned for. And peace with God would be made. And outside, when he came out and knew the sacrifice had been accepted, the people would sigh with relief. Now that great curtain hangs there as a reminder of the distance between God and man. It's like a deep chasm that no one could get over. God could have left it like that, but he didn't. God could have said, I'm going to start all over again on another planet, but he didn't. Do you know what he did? He breached the chasm. And one day, in the middle of an eclipse, a lamb, the Lamb of God, was laid on the altar. Not the lamb of a priest, of a Jew, of a shepherd, but Jesus, the Lamb of God. See what happened in heaven? All the angels were silent. And they watched as Jesus dies upon the cross at Calvary. And heaven heard the cry, "It is finished." And then this is what happened. God the Father turned and he looked one more time at that curtain, that veil that demonstrated the chasm between him and humanity. He looked at it one more time and he reached out and he ripped it from top to bottom. I'm not telling you a story, read it in Matthew 27. No more lambs, No more sacrifices, no more curtains, no more separation. Jesus is the way to God, a new and living way. Do you know what happened next? The sun came out. And ever since, ordinary people just like us can take a moment at any part of the day we like, and we can go right up to the mercy seat. We just did it for this man down here a few moments ago. I did it for all of us. I didn't have to get a book out. I didn't have to go through a procedure. I just walked right up. And you can be sitting in your room. You can be lying on your bed. You can be walking down your street. And you can walk right up, because the curtain, the veil of the temple, has been torn in two. And you can take all your problems and all your difficulties about your life journey and know without a shadow of doubt that he'll hear you and he'll want to help you. If you're a poet lover, you know the words of Robert Browning. You know, the best is yet to be. And there were times in Genesis when it says this, wickedness was great in all the earth and evil continually. And I say, just like now. Yet the testimony of those times was that Enoch walked with God. It couldn't have been easy, but it was the only thing that made life possible. And that's the only way we can face every situation and act responsibly and be different. And the road runs from all the way here to heaven. And sometimes the path will seem smooth, and other times it'll seem rocky. Sometimes the sky above will be blue, then others it'll be grey and forbidding. But here's the amazing factor. You'll have the power and the strength to face whatever any day brings and keep going on the way, only and all because Jesus is with us. In a couple of weeks, we'll remember two making their road, their path, their walk down to Emmaus. Resurrection Day, they were so sad. They were so dejected. The events of the past days had been so hard to grasp. They questioned, what now, what next? And Jesus joined them. And Jesus walked with them. And what's the significance of that? His presence made all the difference. It did so for them, and it will do so for you. I'm not a Liverpool fan, but I like this song. You'll never walk alone. Never. When you're on the Jesus way. And here's a paralyzed man lying on a, they call it a mat, piece of carpet or whatever it was. And Jesus says to him, be of good cheer. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. And he's on the journey. And presence has turned to pardon. And there's a boat. You see the boat? It's dark. So dark, dark, dark. And the wind is fierce and the boat is threatening to capsize. And there's a ghost. There's a ghost walking towards the boat. It's not a ghost. It's none other than the Lord Jesus walking on the water to meet them and saying, be of good cheer, take courage, it's me. And so presence and pardon has now become power. And Paul, oh, Paul, however did he get into this? It's an extremely difficult moment. There's an angry crowd trying to seize him, just kill him. And the soldiers, the commander of the soldiers says, hey, rescue that man. And they take him and they lock him up in the night. And in the darkness of the night, the Lord stood near to Paul. Jesus came and said to Paul, be of good cheer. I'm taking the way to translate, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify about me in Rome. There's a plan. Have you got this? Have you got it? As we go on this highway, as we journey on the highway to heaven, Jesus will be our companion. We'll know his presence. We'll know pardon and forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings. We'll know his power. And we'll know the plan that he has for our individual lives so we can walk his way. And you know what? I'm walking on that way. And I'll see you. Do you know that? I see you. Because we've been singing together about being on the highway to heaven. And I'll hear the songs of so many others because they're on the highway too. I've got to finish. Scarborough in North Yorkshire is a very special place for me. I tell you why. As a student, I would go up there to do beach missions and so on. Year after year, I learned how to hone my craft, and I've done all the flannographs here over the years. I learned it there. It was in Scarborough that I met two missionaries who'd come out of the Congo, the Belgian Congo, on fire, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had never met a Pentecostal. There were no charismatics in those early 50s. But God touched my life, lit a fire here that's still there, still burning today. That's why I am who I am and what I am. But something else happened there in Scarborough, and it was with an evangelist, a man that I've shared life with, talked with, Roger Carswell. And Roger was doing a beach mission. And the RAF were some distance away. It was a base. And this jet plane came skimming across the water. The beach at Scarborough gets very crowded. And he's doing his beach mission. He's talking about knowing life in Jesus, and the plane skims, and he skims on, and he thinks it's some kind of trick, because the guy tries to get it round, and he gets it round, and comes back, thundering back, and then dips into the water. That's the crash. He didn't eject. He saw all the people on the beach mission, on the beach, and the mission going on. And the pilot chose. The newspaper the next day, Roger said this, the newspaper said, pilot gives his life to save the people on the beach. They were the headlines. It was about the pilot not choosing to eject, but to give his life to save the people. When he climbed into the plane, he had no idea that he would be doing that. But I know something about Jesus. He left heaven with the express intention of going to the cross to save the crowds of men and women throughout the world so that again they could get on the highway to heaven. Are you on it? Are you on it? You must make sure. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, and focus only on yourself now for a moment. And I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to say it so slowly you could take the words and pray them for yourself. Because I want you to be sure that you are on the highway to heaven. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you say something like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done that were wrong in my life. I've heard this morning that you will forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, to set me free from my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with me forevermore, so I can walk on the highway to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Commit you to him who's able to keep you from falling and who will present you faultless before the throne. To the only wise God be glory, honor, and praise. May blessing be yours as you walk through this coming week, walking on the highway to heaven. May grace, may mercy, may peace be your abiding portion. In Jesus' name, amen.